You're listening to B2B Revenue Acceleration, a podcast dedicated to helping software executives stay on the cutting edge of sales and marketing in their industry. Let's get into the show.
Hi, welcome to B2B Revenue Acceleration. My name is Katarina Ho, and I'm here today with Jim Kraus, president at the Buyer Persona Institute. How are you doing today, Jim?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Katarina.
Good. It's a pleasure. So today we're going to be talking about leveraging buyer personas for effective marketing campaigns. I know you guys have a bit of a different approach to buyer personas, so I'm quite curious about the conversation today. But before we get started, if you could just introduce yourself a little bit more and also talk about the Buyer Persona Institute for our audience, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, very briefly about me, I've spent pretty much my entire career focused on understanding markets and buyers, both working for anywhere from mid-sized to very large organizations and different marketing and market research roles to the consultant side of the business, where working with different types of clients to help them understand markets, help them understand buyers, really to help inform their marketing and sales decisions and some of their product decisions as well. So that's basically a broad brush of my background. Buyer Persona Institute's been around for about 15 years. We do a lot of work in the B2B space, a lot of work in technology space, and our sole focus is to understand buying decisions at a very deep level so that we can provide insights to marketing and sales professionals that help them develop strategies and different sales tactics to influence the buyers that they're trying to influence.
Yeah, I guess this is such a key element for any marketing and sales, is to really understand your buyer persona so you can address them in the correct way. So super interesting what you guys are doing. So I guess let's dive into the topic then. So if you think about some key components that make up a well-defined buyer persona, what are those key components and are there any best practices that you could share with us?
Yeah, so a lot of folks think about, when they think about buyer personas, they immediately go to thinking about creating a fictional avatar of a role or an individual in the buying decision. You know, whether that be certain demographics or firmographics, or what are the overall priorities and challenges of that particular role or function that you have identified as being in the decision process for whatever solution you offer. Our approach to buyer personas is a bit different. And the reason we focus on understanding buying decisions at a very deep level. And the reason that we do that is because ultimately, if you're in marketing, sales, or any position really that's trying to influence buyers, you need to know exactly their mindset and their behaviors throughout the buying decision that they're making to be able to effectively influence it and to figure out what do we need to do to gain the trust of these buyers. So what our definition of a buyer persona is taking a very specific buying decision. As an example, we can pick CRM software and understanding some very specific things about the buying decision in this case, in this example, around CRM software. And I can go into some details if that would be helpful as far as what are some key things to look at.
Yeah, if you could, I think that would be great. Because does it take into account kind of the issues they come across and the problems they're trying to solve, and then the stages of the buying process? Or I'd love for you to dive deeper into that.
Yeah, so what we do is, and the approach we'd recommend, whether you do it with us or you do it yourself, and we can talk about different resources maybe towards the end that I can point you to help you get even more educated on some of this stuff. But basically, it starts with talking to recent buyers, interviewing recent buyers. And what I mean by recent buyers is, you know, for the audience out there, think about a product or a service or solution that you offer. And you want to go out and talk to folks that have made that exact buying decision over the last 12 months or so. And you want to have in-depth interviews with these buyers. These are not your current customers, right? You want to understand the market. You want to understand buyers that you would have wanted in your sales pipeline. And you may run into some of your current customers, and that's fine. But you want to talk to those recent buyers.
Would you also talk to companies that have been in the sales process but then didn't choose you?
Potentially, yes. But the key here is we're trying to understand the buying decision, right? So it's not a win-loss study where we're trying to understand why you win or lose a deal. We're really trying to understand what is the mindset and behaviors of buyers as they go through the entire buying journey so that we can figure out what are the insights that you need to make more informed decisions around your marketing and sales. So when you talk to these recent buyers, you want to do in-depth interviews with them. And what I mean by in-depth interviews is, you know, not a survey where you're asking them to rate or rank things. You want to have a discussion where you literally understand everything that happened in the buying decision that they made from literally the moment they had an initial trigger where they started actually looking for options, right? What was the moment where they said, you know what, enough's enough, we need to do something. And you literally try to understand everything from that beginning all the way until the very end when they make a final decision. And the things that we probe on in these interviews is, you know, how did they figure out what are the providers they were even going to consider? How did they winnow down their choices? How did they come to a final decision? You want to interview them in a way that you're really acting as a journalist almost. You know, it's their buying story. They love to tell it, right? Like one of the things we found is, you know, marketers sometimes have a little anxiety of talking about to buyers, and you shouldn't, because, you know, this is a buying decision that was really important to them and they love talking about it because they're not pontificating about what maybe will happen in the future. It's something that actually happened. So you do these interviews. Once you do a set of interviews, you look across them, and there's five key areas of insight that make up a buyer persona. And these are all really critical, and they're pretty logical in terms of if you're in marketing and sales, why you would want to know this information. So the first area of insight we call priority initiatives. And think of these as what I said earlier, the triggers or the needs. What are the things that got them to even start looking for your solution? The second area is what we call success factors. And success factors are the benefits or the outcomes or the results that they want from this particular investment. The third area is perceived barriers, which is my personal favorite because it often gets overlooked. And what perceived barriers are is all the fears, concerns, trepidations that buyers have, either making the investment with anybody, right, moving away from the status quo, or making it with certain providers. And we know one of the biggest sales obstacles that the salespeople have is really the status quo, right? So you want to understand what are the things that are getting buyers hung up. The fourth area is what we call decision criteria. And these are all the questions that you can anticipate or not even anticipate, will expect to get as your buyers are evaluating different competitive alternatives. These are the questions they're going to be using to figure out who are they even considering? Who are they cutting down to their, you know, to their short list? How are they making a final decision? And the fifth and final piece to your buyer persona is the buyer's journey. And this is literally, what are the actual steps they took during the entire process? Who were the key influences that were involved? What information sources did they use to really inform their decision? So these five areas comprise your buyer persona. The last piece I'll mention is the one thing you want to add to your buyer persona, and I can't recommend it highly enough, is you want to include an abundance of buyer quotes from your interviews that you can map to each insight that you identify. And the reason for that is, one, it adds tremendous credibility to the findings because it's not you sitting there espousing what you think the market's saying. You can see what the market's saying. The buyers are saying it in their own words, and it just jumps off the page. The other reason it's really important is if you're somebody who's in a role trying to influence buyers, it gives you such a deep and nuanced understanding of them that it just helps you in so many different things that you're going to be working on from a marketing and sales perspective. So that is a buyer persona. It's deep buying insights around a specific buying decision that you're trying to influence. And it's just such a game changer. And it's so much more valuable than just profiling, just trying to describe a role involved in the decision process.
Interesting. And do you see any similarities between different type of buying centers? So for example, marketers buy in a way, salespeople buy in a different way, IT decision makers buy in a different way. Do you see like much of a difference between those different types of buyers with regards to the way they go about it?
I will say an answer that many people won't believe, but no, we don't. So,
really?
Yeah. So it's fascinating to us when the buying decision is the center of the persona, right? When you really focus on what is the decision we're trying to influence, you know, these are, you know, these high consideration decisions, right? Once you get into those, once a need's identified and you really start evaluating providers, you want to understand that buying decision holistically. So every one of the roles that you mentioned as an example, it's certainly important to understand what their hot buttons are. What are their requirements? What are their concerns? What do they care about? But you want to understand that in the context of the buying decision. So we'll often do, we'll work with clients that want to do a, what we call a segmented study, where we'll do a buyer persona on a buying decision, but they, you know, they say, well, you know what, we need to understand the IT professional and these two, you know, non-IT professions. And we do that, and we can identify differences that we hear by any of those segments. I will tell you that we find way more commonalities than differences. And the reason that's so important is because it's very hard when you're marketing to tailor everything to a specific buyer all the time. It's just, it takes a lot, it introduces a lot of complexity. It may require resources that you may not even have to do effectively. And there really isn't a need to, right? You want to understand all the requirements that you need to influence that buying decision. So we're not ignoring any of those roles. But what I am suggesting is you probably need to tailor it much less than you think you do.
Interesting. And where do you see buyers dropping out the most? So, you know, obviously throughout your studies, you probably try to understand like at what point of the decision-making process they decided then to not go with that company or go with that company. What's kind of the most critical point?
So those are perceived barriers, right? That's the third area, which I mentioned are the things that are, what are the things that are knocking people out, so to speak? It really depends, right? It depends on the buying decision. It depends on the offering. I mean, for technology solutions, we do a lot of work in B2B technology. It's a lot of the things some of the things you might expect, like how well does things integrate with our existing systems? Is it a provider that really knows our industry very well and the nuances of our industry? Can you help scale globally to meet our needs in different markets? It's things like that. But there's also other things that are very specific to certain industries and certain buying decisions within certain offerings as well. And that's what the buyer persona looks to uncover. What are those things? And the best thing about perceived barriers, which one of the reasons I like that insight so much, is that it is really a place where you can differentiate yourself, because basically you're gaining the insight to know what you're finding out, where are providers falling out. And if you can address those things, or you have a good answer to those things, that's a way to differentiate yourself, because we know through the buyer persona study that folks are dropping out at those points, and you want to stay in the mix.
Interesting. Last year we had Matt Dixon on our podcast. He wrote a book called The Jolt Effect, and he talks about customer indecision. So it was really, I kind of made a bit of a connection there with what you're saying, because I think once you find out those barriers, there is a way for you to address that customer indecision. And another thing that I found fascinating with the conversation with him was there is a lot of companies that they just do nothing. Sometimes it's very hard to get out of that motion of, you know, sometimes they have a problem, but they just can't be bothered to solve it, or it's too big of a problem to go and solve it. And then sometimes they just get on with leaving things how they are. You know what I mean?
The Jolt Effect is probably one of my favorite books in the last 12 months that I've read, because, and we've written some thought pieces around it, because one of the things it does a great job of identifying, for those not familiar with it, they did analysis of over 1 million sales calls over a period of time, really during COVID, where they're able to analyze metadata around sales calls. And one of the things that they found out, which was really compelling, was just how much indecision is involved in sales, right? There's this, you know, the biggest obstacles that salespeople face, one of the bigger obstacles they face is overcoming that indecision and those fears. So when you think about your role as a marketing and sales professional, at the end of the day, the thing you're trying to do more than anything is instill confidence in that buyer, that they know they can go to you and things are going to work out. If they move away from what they're doing, things can work out. And the data that they were able to analyze showed that in such a compelling way. And the reason that's so important is because if you're focused just on messaging, for example, that just focused on benefits, everybody's doing that, right? Like you got to get into, it's got to be more than just talking about what your buyers want, right? Most competitors are saying more or less the same thing. You need to get into their barriers and how they're making these decisions, because that's where you can really stand out. That book was, I just had a lot of applicability in terms of some of the stuff that we do.
Yeah, really good book. I agree with you. Another thing I was quite curious about, when you talked about the customer journey and what are the steps and processes that they go through to make a decision around the, you know, the solution. Are there any similarities between different sort of buyers and anything that kind of stood out for you on that sense? Because like us as marketers, we're always looking out for ways to increase conversions and influence and identify the best channels to influence, obviously, the buyers. So what one of the things that we recently did is analyzing the conversion rates from our inbound leads when they come from a referral or when they come from a different source, right? So we analyze all the sources and obviously the leads that come from a referral have a ridiculously high conversion rate compared to all of the other channels. So is that something that you guys see as well in your studies or anything that you feel like is worth sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be a little careful in what I share, just because most of the stuff we do is proprietary clients. But I think it's fair to say and fine to say that, yes, I mean, one of the big, going back to that issue of trust, you know, particularly when you're talking about these higher consideration buying decisions where there's probably a significant investment, there's a lot on the line from a business and even a personal standpoint for the folks that are involved on it. Anything that can make folks feel like, hey, you know, this provider and this solution has a demonstrated track record of success, and we're getting a referral from somebody that can attest to it, is huge, right? It's a big thing. So that's definitely a big part of the buyer's journey, and something we typically see in most of the work that we do, just because of the nature of the work that we do.
And that's a big thing that we see a lot in kind of sales and marketing forums is around multi-threading. I don't know if there is any findings that you guys made around making sure that different buyer personas or like buyer groups are involved in the sales process. Is there anything around that you guys have seen?
Meaning what? If you could explain that a little bit more.
So multi-threading being, let's say, if you are selling your solution to the marketing leader, you want to make sure that you also get the sales leader involved and you also get the CFO involved and also speak to the CEO or, you know, getting more people involved in the sales process to make sure that you have a strong case there. Because sometimes when you're on a sales call with someone and you ask, who's going to sign the contract or who's your decision maker? And often, let's say, I own the budgets here at Obrotics from a marketing perspective. But often we need sign off from finance or we need alignment with sales or, you know, so that kind of multi-persona buying centers, is there any kind of correlation with what you guys have seen?
Yeah, I would say one of the benefits of focusing on the buying decision around your buyer personas is, you know, you're not just getting the viewpoint of a single buyer or a single role, right? I mean, the insights you're getting is representative of the entire buying committee. So one of the nice things that you get using this approach is that you're going to come up with things that are really important to specific buyers and roles. The other key thing is you're also going to identify things that are really important or more important maybe to other roles, right? And there's a lot of value in being able to address those things. So using your example, if your primary, you know, entry point is through a marketing executive, to be able to meet requirements that are maybe a little bit more important for other buyers, you're going to be able to help that marketing executive who's maybe trying to push something, right? And then maybe not even a provider, just doing something. You're going to really help them and you're going to get a leg up because you've already know what some of these other things that are going to be important to these other buyers are in through your buyer persona work. And one of the things we often hear in the buyer persona work is the ability for an organization to help a particular buyer sell in the capability, right? Get other people on this feeling as confident as they do that's going to work. So that's where the real value comes in. It's more of using the buyer persona insights that so you can really effectively use that multi-thread strategy.
And then I guess there is a lot of information and learnings that you share with your customers when you do those analysis. How do they then go and tailor their marketing messages or, you know, sales messages with those learnings?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a number of places that the buyer personas can help marketing and sales. Messaging is certainly one of them. Sales enablement is another one. Content thought leadership is another one. To answer your questions about messaging, A lot of them just use it right away. Most of the buyer personas, right? The quick hit is look at all your messaging and just refresh it, right? Because, you know, if you've got messaging that's talking about something that doesn't come up at all in your buyer persona, you might want to rethink that. Because if you're trying to influence the buying decision and you've done all this work and you see, hey, this is not even coming up as anything that's even an issue or something that's important, why spend all that time on it? You may find other things that, you know, you're doubling down on saying, hey, you know, we've got a great capability here. We're saying a little bit about this. We should be talking about this a lot more. And there may be things you're not talking about at all right now that we commonly find in personas where we say, hey, wait a second, you know, we missed this. We've been focused over here and we're missing it, right? Because that's not how they're making decisions, right? They're focused on this. So that's a quick hit. And one more thing I'll say about messaging. One great exercise to do is we call it, you know, persona activation, for lack of a better word, is if you think about a simple Venn diagram, if you've got two overlapping circles, if you've got one circle on the left side, which is all the things that buyers want and need. So these are all the insights you just got from your persona work. The other circle on the right side, it's great to map your capabilities over that, overlay those, because what you can do then is you can identify some, you know, key message themes that you want to focus on. Because think about it, if you identify the sweet spot between what buyers want and need and where you have capabilities, hopefully differentiating capabilities, those are things that you can really focus your messaging on. Those are things you can literally hand to your sales force, because now you're, you know, one of the big challenges sales often have is, what do I talk to these prospects about? Well, we're going to tell you some things that they're probably going to be interested in. And by the way, we're also arming you with proof points and capabilities. We did that work. And so they can feel really confident in that discussion. So that's another great way to use them.
And in terms of how often do you need to revisit those personas? Because obviously the market is changing constantly. And like, how frequently need to be keeping the finger on the pulse on how buyers are buying?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I get this question quite a bit. It depends is the answer, right? I mean, if you've got a market that is pretty stagnant, and not even from a growth perspective, but doesn't change a whole heck of a lot. There's not a lot of new technologies, not a lot of new innovations. People are buying more or less the same way. Then you don't need to update your personas all that often. But if you have markets that are very dynamic, you've got new players, new technologies, your end clients are doing things in different ways, then you definitely want to think about refreshing your persona, you know, every year or so, maybe more frequently or a little less frequently, depending. The other area, of course, is if you're doing going into a market that you really don't have a lot of experience in and you just don't know buyers very well. I mean, that's not, you know, refreshing it. That's a new buyer persona, but those are definitely things that you want to do. Or if you're entering a new market, for example, you know, the buyer persona is just foundational, right? It's the base of the pyramid and as far as everything you're going to be doing after that.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned about the regions, because you know, there is a lot of preconceptions around how Europeans buy or how Americans buy or how people in APAC buy. Are these preconceptions real, or what kind of things you guys have seen there?
Right. So I'll say this again, generalization, but we've done personas for over 200 companies. We've been doing this for a long time. You know, if you think about regions or geography, industries and enterprise size, we find more differences in enterprise size than anything else. And that's only when there's a significant difference in enterprise size. So like micro companies versus very large, right? There's going to be some differences in your persona. We rarely find differences by region and geography. And I'm not saying never. We do find some differences, but the majority of what we find is similar. Again, it's because your base is the buying decision, right? This is, you're trying to figure out when somebody's ready to start looking for something, and they're actually making decisions, getting that buyer's journey, things are not all that different in different countries, right? So, but if it's something that you really need to be confident about, do the work. You know, you can do a certain number of interviews in each region or country you're operating in, and then you'll have the data you need to identify any differences. So I'm not suggesting don't do it. What I'm saying is we don't find as many differences as a lot of people anticipate. And then once we go through the results of the buyer persona, people start to understand why. They're like, oh, that makes sense, right? Because we're focused on the buying decision.
And you mentioned that with enterprise, it's slightly different. Is that because the buying process is more complex and long?
It depends, right? So if you're dealing with like a really large organization, obviously there's going to be more buying processes, procurement, more stakeholders, maybe multiple regions. You know, there'll be people working in different regions. There's just more complexity there. If you're dealing with like a really small business, for example, it's likely an owner, a founder, a managing partner, maybe one or two other people. You know, if it's a technology solution, maybe it's their IT person and maybe one other person. So it's just it's not that we necessarily find huge differences across all the areas of insight I mentioned, but we do certainly find more there, particularly when you think about the buyer's journey as an example.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Super interesting, Jim. Is there any kind of tools or resources that you guys can make available, I don't know, on your website or anywhere that, you know, can help companies, you know, look at target buyer personas in a bit of a different way and support them to think about them this way?
Yeah, absolutely. So if our website is buyerpersona.com. And if you go there, we try to make resources available that folks can use, right, for the folks that would like to do this kind of work on their own. We've got some different templates up there, some persona templates. We also have a self-paced masterclass that we offer, which is, you know, we offer it pretty inexpensively. So if you want to go through it, it's an online self-paced as far as how do you define what the buying decision is, how do you identify buyers to talk to, how do you do interviews, and how do you do the analysis. So those are all available on the website. And then the other thing I would offer is if anybody wants to link into me, we put out a buyer persona buzz newsletter through LinkedIn channels that we're always trying to put, you know, material out that will be helpful for folks that are thinking about this approach or thinking about, you know, actual methods to do this approach.
Well, sounds good. Interesting. Well, thank you so much for coming on board. I mean, you already mentioned your website. Is there any way that people can get in touch with you personally, maybe LinkedIn or email? What's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, the two easiest ways are either LinkedIn or on our website. I think it's a contact us button. You can just click on that and that will get to us and to me. And we're happy to talk to anybody that wants to get into the topic of buyer personas a little further.
All right. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much again for coming on the show, Jim. It was great having you on the show.
Thanks, Katarina. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to B2B Revenue Acceleration. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.